This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can.
What it says I can.
I am humble before the Lord.
I'm a believer.
And not a doubter.
And not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
And not just a hearer.
And not just a hearer.
I am humble before the Lord.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that
faith
comes by hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Trinity. Glory be to God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you will. Amen. Amen. Our text scripture has been Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our fourth and final sermon in the series that we've simply entitled, "God Got You." And I've said that the overarching message of this series is that God is with you as you navigate your way through the ups and downs of life. I said that in every phase of your journey, whether it's in the times of struggle, sorrow, or in the times of waiting, and even in the times of victory, we got to understand that God got us. His presence and his power ensures that no matter what you face in life, he got you. Look at somebody and say, "He got you." See, on last week, we looked at how the Apostle Paul judiciously summarized the things he suffered for the cause of Christ in order to quiet his critics. The critics were questioning his heritage and whether or not he had the authority to preach the gospel. And he summarized all the trials and sufferings that he went through to show that God had him in every situation. In the midst of his suffering for the gospel, Paul described life, a life of hope and victory. And he said that every believer should have that because of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to his gospel assignment, Paul declared, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Amen. And we close with Paul thanking God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. As we diffuse the gospel, we show you how we're supposed to be spreading some, amen? As we diffuse the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world in which we live. So today, we're going to start in Psalms 37. And when I read, I'll read verses 23 through 25. In Psalm 37, David discussed the age-old problem. Why the righteous seem to suffer, while the wicked seems to prosper. See, David instructed the righteous not to be disturbed over the prosperity of the wicked. You know, those who reject God. Because he believed that divine justice will be granted. And David used a series of proverbial expressions in this Psalms to exhort and encourage the righteous to trust in the Lord and do good continually. Somebody say continually. Doing good is an ongoing process. Amen? And he told them not to fret or worry about evil people who prosper because they are about to be cast down. And I just want to briefly look at a portion of these expressions that let us see that God got the righteous. Somebody say, "God got the righteous." He says here in verse 23, "The steps of a good man," or a righteous man, or woman, "are ordered by who?" The steps, your very life, your course that you're on is ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. In other words, we get delight and God delights in our way because we should be walking in a way that glorifies him. We should be walking in a way that pleases him. And so therefore, by us delighting in him, he delights in us. And we should delight in his word. We should delight meditating on this word, praying this word. We should be like delight in being taught this word. Amen. If we want to walk in God's way, we got to walk in his word. He said, now look here, Brother Will, it looks like a righteous man can fall. The guy who wrote this fell. Because David, after all, did have some issues. Amen. He did fall. But look what the Bible says in 24. Though he fall. Somebody says, is there anybody in the house that ever just fell? Amen. I mean, don't get too holy on it right now. It's a good possibility. It's a strong possibility. It's almost 100% chance. Almost. It's probably 100% chance that everybody in here done failed. And you was righteous when you. So the Bible don't lie. He says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, when you fail, God didn't throw you away. In other words, see, God is going to uphold you because he says, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. God is reaching out. Whenever we fall, his hand is there to lift us up out of whatever we've fallen into. Even though we are righteous, there's a possibility that before today is out, some of you may but you got to believe that he's there to lift you up. Because you are the righteous. And David says this. Now, I don't know if everybody can say this, but David had this testimony. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants. Man, if we get this thing right, our kids ought to be all right. If we teach them the right way to live and the right way to do things, they ought to be all right. No matter how hard times get, we ought to believe that because we taught them right, they're not going to be out there begging bread. And if they have to, bread is going to be there for them when they need it. But I'm hoping that we taught them some things that they can live life and don't have to beg bread. But God had a system for the Jews. Whenever someone was in need, they had provisions that their needs would be. So that's why David would say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Our kids out there begging bread, we didn't do something right. Amen. They didn't learn something. Amen. Brother Wilson, our kids ain't supposed to be begging. No matter who the president is. Amen. We still righteous. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I figured I'd just throw that in. Yeah, Psalms 121. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 when I get here, but I want to just kind of set this up. It is believed that this psalm was saying as the pilgrims took their journey to Jerusalem. Normally, they would have to go back often for celebrations and feasts and things of that nature. And they used to have to travel through the dangerous mountains. And safety was often a big concern of theirs, especially as they journeyed on these narrow roads, because Jerusalem sat up on a hill, and Judea was a kind of mountainous area. And so these people had to travel on these mountainous roads. And as they travel, there's a possibility, Brother Will, that they could stumble and fall and hurt themselves. There was also a good possibility, because that region was very hot, some of them could suffer from heat strokes. And on a cold night, because it does get, you know, over there get very cold, some could come down with some form of a cold. But on top of all that, Brother Wilson, there was a good possibility that wild beasts or robbers could swoop down on them. So the theme of this psalm is God's protection over those who he loves. And the message from this applies to God's people today. It gives us the assurance we need as we navigate our way in this life. See, we're on a journey, and we need God's protection as we travel along the way. So look at this. You got to imagine that this was a song, because at the beginning of it says a song of ascent in some of your Bible. That means a song that is written on something climbing up a mountain. It's a song of ascent. And he said, now look, when I'm on my way up this mountain and there's trouble all around me, I will lift my eyes to the hill from which comes my... Whenever I'm in trouble, I'm going to look up. I ain't going to look down, because my help comes from the Lord. He says, I will lift my eyes to the hill. See, in their mindset at that time, Jerusalem and where the temple was where God resided. So whenever they got in trouble, if I could look back to where the temple is, I'm looking to my help. But see, we're not looking for a physical temple today. We're looking to the heavens where our God abides and where he lives. And when we get in trouble, we ought to look up. Amen. And not down. He said, from whence comes my help? Then he answered his own question. You know, because he was just saying, where is the source of my help? Then he says, my help comes from the who made heaven and good God Almighty. I got somebody that I'm looking to that created everything I see. And so therefore, when I get in trouble, I don't look to man, I look to him. And when I get in trouble, I don't look down, I look up, because I know where my help comes from. And my help comes from the one who created heaven. Man, if he created everything that you see, there's a good possibility he can take care of you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, there's a good possibility. Why can we trust him? Because the Bible says he would not allow your foot to be moved. In other words, you're going up a mountain, the steps could be, you know, tedious sometimes. It could be dangerous. And so therefore he said, look, I can protect you even when you're walking on rough land. I won't, you know, sometimes losing your footing could be detrimental to you. You know, you don't just want to fall. Amen. And see, with these people going up these rough trails, there's a possibility they could just slip and fall. But he was saying, look, I would not allow you. I'm going to put you on solid ground. I'm going to put you on a place that you can stand on, and you can be assured that you're safe in this place. You're going to be okay, because you're building your life on something that's solid. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. In other words, you know, the God that we serve don't go to sleep. Amen. He don't take a nap. Amen. Amen. He don't doze off. Uh-huh. He ain't watching CNN or Netflix. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. I mean, he ain't watching that. He concerned about you. He too much concerned about you to be watching Netflix. Amen. 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 When you're going through here, he ain't got to, you know, make sure he stop and pause the TV for you so he can take care of you. No, he's looking out for you right now while you're sitting here, because he's not slumbering nor asleep. He's not slack when it concerns you. And you got to understand that's the type of God we serve, because he said, now look, behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleep. He said, now look, the Lord is your, my God. He's my keeper. He can preserve me. That's what keeping me. He can preserve me. He can protect me. He can make sure I'm going to be all right. He is my keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. You see, sometimes in the heat, they need to be protected from the sun. And they're just using this as an analogy to let them know that no matter where they find themselves, God can protect them. He can be there. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Now look at this. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon. Good God Almighty. I don't care if it get 140 degrees. I ain't going to let it strike you. And even when the sun go down and the moon is out, I still got you. God said, I'll be your shade. I can hide you. I can shield you. I can protect you from what's going on around you. You just got to trust me that I got you. Wherever you go, whatever you're going through, I'm there. I'm your protector. I'm your preserver. I'm your provider. I can do all those things for you. You just got to. You got to trust me. Look here. He says, the Lord shall preserve you from what? Good God Almighty. Amen. God can keep us from evil. He shall preserve your. Now, that soul there is not talking about your spirit. That soul is talking about your life, who you are as a person. You know, sometime in a tragic situation, you know, and I hate to use an example, but I used to work in the command post, and you know, every now and then we would lose a plane. Amen. And one of the first questions that people always ask is, how many souls are on board? They were talking about the individual people. How many people was on the manifest for that particular flight? And so God says, here, look here. He can preserve your very who you are in the body that you're in. He can preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in.
Amen.
Now look here. He was telling them now, look, you live in a region, you're traveling, you're going somewhere. Wherever you go, going away, I can keep you. I can preserve you. And when you get back, I'm going to be right here with you.
Amen.
In other words, on a natural way, when you leave in the morning, going to work, God will say, I can go with you.
Yeah.
And when you come back home at night, I'll be right there.
Amen.
I can preserve you when you're going to that hellish job. Because I'm going to be right there with you. And I can be with you when you come back to these hellish children.
Yeah.
I can be, y'all got good kids. You know, we got, y'all just saw our kids, right? Them good kids behind me. Them little kids, all them that was up here today, you know, that was standing a few minutes ago. I believe their mama say they're good kids. Their dad would probably say good kid. But just in case one of them cut the food.
Amen.
God can preserve you through that. You're going to be all right. He can preserve your going out and your coming in. And Brother Wilson, he says he can do that from this time forth and even for God is a keeper. God is a preserver and God is a protector and he can do it all the time and he can do it all the days of your. Oh, my God. And he's worthy of our praise just because of who he is and what he can do. Now look at this in our text back in Isaiah 41. And I need to set this up and add some context to it before I get there. So give me a moment. I want to give you a little bit of what was going on before we get to the text. See, in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah was reminding the people that God is greater than their circumstances.
Amen.
See, instead of praising God, they were complaining to him. You know, they were saying that he acted as though he did not know their situation.
Amen.
And he even acted to some of them like he had no concern for their problems.
Right.
See, so as this remnant was going out of captivity, because they was there because of their sins, and they sinned against God. Instead of seeing the open door, they only saw the long road before them, and they complained that they did not have the strength for the journey. They felt that God was asking them to do something that was impossible. But Isaiah ends chapter 40 with these words. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
In other words, I see revitalization there. God can take you where you are and he can renew your strength. You may be think you too weak for what's going on in your life, but God can he can revitalize you. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I see elevation. God can take you someplace higher than yourself.
Amen.
But you got to stop just worrying about just you and yourself. You got to allow him to do what he can do best in your life. You got to believe that he can elevate you out of some things, out of some situations. And when you elevate, you are above certain situations. He says, they will mount up with wings like eagles. Y'all know what eagles do. Eagles soar. They don't just fly. They get above the clouds. Yeah. Look here, he says now, Adrian, they shall run and not be weary. I see acceleration there. You know, when you're running, it's different from walking. So that when you run, you got to pick up a little bit of speed.
Amen.
Then the end will say, they shall walk and not faint. I see duration there. You know, because you can walk longer than you can run. And in this life you're living in, you're going to do more walking than you are running, and you're going to do more walking than you are sowing. So you better learn how to walk with the Lord. Yeah. And every now and then he'll allow you to soar above something, but day to day you better learn how to. Because most of your journey is going to be walking, because he know you can't run forever. He know you can't fly forever. But he know that you can walk for a long period of. So Isaiah ended that by trying to make them see that God was still with them. So in chapter 41, he begins a section of the book where Isaiah assures the people that God is greater than their fears. You know, the fear of the long journey, the fear of the powerful enemies along the way, the fear of the difficult task of rebuilding once you get there. They could think of many causes for fear, but there was one big reason not to be paralyzed by the fear, and that was that God was with them. And he could give them the success to fulfill the promise that he had made to his people. So look at this. Now let's take a look and see if we can find some encouragement from Isaiah's words to Israel. In verse 8 of chapter 41, it says, "But as for you, Israel my servant, Jacob my chosen one, descended from Abraham my friend." Good God Almighty. He talks about their heritage. He talks about their relationship. And I know we are not Israelites. We're not Jews. But look here, we've been adopted into the family. So I believe that the promise that he made to them applied to us. And so therefore he said, now unto you, Israel, my servant, then Jacob, my chosen. Well, you know, in other words, out of all these heaps of nations in the world, I just looked down and chose him to be my people, told them to be my people. And because I chose them, I want them to be a peculiar people. I'm setting them apart from everybody else. They have to be an example for the very world that they are in. So look here, they are my chosen one. And look here, you've been chosen too, whether you want to believe it or not. If you're sitting up here today and you say, Jesus, Lord, you've been chosen. Right. Now, it's just a matter of you, how do you live in the chosen life that you have been given? But you need to know you're not here by accident. Right. You've been chosen. If you made Jesus Christ your Lord, you've been my chosen one. Descendants from Abraham, my friend. Man, God said Abraham was his. Abraham is known as the father of faith. So therefore, in the New Testament, about them being the seed of Abraham, Jesus, the seed of Abraham. God made a lot of promises to Abraham, and what we need to know, the same promises that he made to Abraham apply to you. The same covenant that he made with Abraham, that covenant is applicable to you. And Jesus said this about a friend, man, greater love has no man than he'd give his life for his friend. Man, for God to call Abraham his friend, that was a powerful statement. See, we use the word friend too loosely today. We call everybody our friend. I got 100 friends on Facebook. You ain't got nothing on Facebook. Amen. Them ain't no friends. They like me. I got 500 friends. No, you do not. Now, I don't know how Facebook defined a friend, but I guarantee you don't define a friend like God. When you look at God's definition of a friend, you probably can narrow those folk down to. Now, you may have over here in the hundreds, but you don't call them. See, we got to stop using that word friend so loosely. Oh, everybody's my friend because they like me. They put a little heart by me. They ain't your friend. They don't know nothing about you. And if you've been lying to them, they definitely don't know nothing about you. Y'all Christians, I know y'all don't lie down faithful. Y'all put nothing but the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the. And I hope your friend telling you the truth too out there. Because you call them your. So I just want you today to think deeply before you just give someone that label in your life. Friend. Because God has a higher standard for a friend than we do. And we need to come into relationship with our friends based upon how God see a friend. Amen? He says, now, Abraham, my friend, he said, now, look, I have called you back from the ends of the earth. In other words, they were in captivity. They've been in captivity in Egypt. He called them out of Egypt. Now they're in Babylon. He's calling them out of Babylon. From the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant. Now look, for I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Good God Almighty. Somebody said, I've been chosen. And because I've been chosen, God said, he ain't going to throw me away. Even though I do like David every now and then, if I repent and come back, he ain't going. I ain't going to play with him and just do stuff to be doing it. But he's telling me, hey, look, if you're a good man and you just happen to fall, I ain't going to throw you. We got to stop throwing away people. Amen. We just throw folk away and we don't even have throwaway authority. Amen. Your job is to love them and to nurture them and try to bring them back to the Lord. Stop throwing away folk. Amen. Amen. If God didn't throw them away, we don't have the right. And I know sometimes we can get self-righteous in our own understanding of this word, and the first thing we want to do is just throw away. Amen. And the Bible says, hey, you're throwing away somebody that's been chosen, and he said he would not throw you away. So why are we going to overrule God and throw some folk away? Now look what he said. This is our text scripture. Then now you get some meaning why he says to these people who are journeying back and who thinking that it's too hard, it's impossible, he's telling them, don't be afraid. For I am with you. Don't be discouraged. For I am your... Because I'm with you and I don't want you to be discouraged, I want you to know I will strengthen you and help you. Good God Almighty. When you think you're too weak, you got to stop looking to yourself for strength. You got to look to the one who can strengthen you. And he says, I will strengthen you and I'm not just going to let you live and stay in your weakness. I will strengthen you and I will. We got to start looking to him for our help. That's why the other writer said, I will look to the hills from which comes my help. My help come from the one who can strengthen me. That's where my help comes. So therefore, I need to look to him. He says, I will help you. He says, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I will support you with my mighty power, is what he's telling you. I got the power to hold you up when you don't think you can even make it through another day. You just got to look to me and not to yourself. Take the focus off of you. Start focusing on me. Look at what I can do. See what my word said I can do. Find the promise that I made to you. Don't look at yourself, because when you look to yourself for strength, right now you ain't going to find it. You look into the wrong place. I am the source of your strength. Your strength and your power comes from me. So therefore, come back to me when you need it. Y'all better stop going to the wrong place when you're looking for strength. When you're looking for help, you got to go to the one who can help you. Now look here, this is how he does this thing. I don't have time to go through the whole story, but when they was going through, God raised up another king to do all they fighting for. All they had to do was trust him along the way. And by them trusting him, God made sure they would get back to that destination safely. Sometimes your help is not in you. God already got somebody out there he's going to use to help you. He already know what he's going to do. You just got to trust him in your situation. You got to look to him who is the source of your help, who is the source of your strength. Because he said he could hold us up with his victorious right hand. He said, now look, somebody say, see. You know, see. Just take notice of, see, all your angry enemies lie there. See, you just got to, in your mind's eye, see what God going to do to your enemies. You got to have a vision that God going to take care of this because he got me. I don't care what I'm going through, I'm going to make it through. Because he told me to just open that eye up and start seeing like he see, not like you see. And when you do that, he says, say, see all your angry. Oh, angry. Yeah, I guess all enemies are angry about something, right? Amen. I never had a friendly enemy. Most of my enemies are angry. He said, all of them, Adrian. All your angry enemies. I-E-S. Lie there. Confused and humiliated. Look, God Almighty. God can confuse your enemies and humiliate them at the. You just got to be able to see that. God going to confuse whatever it is that's coming at me. And he can humiliate it at the same time. And look here. Adrian, he says, anyone. Somebody shout anyone. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to. Y'all got to put yourself in the scriptures to get some to see exactly what God was trying to get these folks to see. He was trying to get them the courage to go and do something that they thought was impossible. And he said, now look, they're going to be humiliated. And anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. Now look at this. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Some of y'all are still looking for that problem. And God said, if you give it to me, you're going to look for it in. It was trying to conquer you, but I was on your side. So don't look for it. If you know he done took care of it, stop looking for it. Let him have it. Let him have that issue. Let him have that concern. If he said he got it, don't you go looking. Because he said, if you look, you're going to look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. He didn't say you weren't going to be attacked. He just said those who do it going to come to. You know, y'all just got to recognize nothing when you see it. Y'all giving too much credit to nothing. You know, it just dropped on me right there. That ain't in the notes. I don't even know if that's, you know, hermeneutically correct, but it sounds good right there. You're looking over there at her. That's nothing. Nothing. Heat. All that noise he came to me. Amen. Nothing. Why in the world am I giving all this attention to? We making something. Y'all better hear me today because some of y'all making. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself, it ain't no big deal. Amen. It amounts to nothing in the big scheme of things. It's not a big deal. Some of you that's married need to learn that it's nothing. We are arguing about. In the scheme of life, if you were to die today, this we wouldn't even be talking about this. This is. Those who attack you will come to, last verse, for I hold you by my right hand. I, the Lord, your God, and I say to you, somebody say, don't be afraid. That's what he's telling us. Somebody say, don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am here. You know, here is the word we use all the time. And you know the difference between H-E-R-E and H-E-A-R. One deal with your ears, the other deal with your position or your place. And he's saying, look, I am in the place. I am in the position that wherever you are, I can. Whatever position you are in life, on this journey, wherever you are, good God Almighty, I am here to help you. You just got to realize I'm right there with you. I'm in position to help you. I have the power to help you. I am in the right place too. You got to stop looking to the wrong place. We've already said I look to the hill from which cometh my help. My help comes from the who created heaven and. Good God Almighty. And while I'm going through, he got me. And he's telling me, Bolden, I am. I'm not here just to be here. I'm here to help you. And what we got to start doing is allow the God to help us when we're going through times in life. We're trying to do it by himself when he's telling you, I am here. I am in position. I am ready. I am here. And because I am here, I am here to help you. God got us no matter what we go through in life. And because we have Jesus, we can believe in these same promises that God made to the Israelites. Jesus secured God's blessings on our life. And because of Jesus, God got us. And we don't have to be afraid because we know that he is here to help us. Let's give him some praise on today. Hallelujah. I'm done. Hallelujah. God got you. God got you. You just got to accept that truth and believe that truth, walk in that truth, live that truth. And when troubles come your way, you got to say, some of these things going to amount to nothing. Y'all need to just assign nothing of value to some things that attack you. That, you know, I like The Equalizer. You know, Denzel, that's one of my favorite movies. I look at that over and over. But that one scene, I know in a negative way, you know, when the guy was talking about Denzel or, you know, whatever his name was, sitting there in front of him, when he had to kill all dudes around him, he talking all that noise. And you know, he told Zantel, you know, you, Denzel, you are nothing. You are nothing but lint. I see you as nothing but lint. You know, that right before Denzel killed him, though, you know what I mean? But that truth that he was trying to say, I flip that now and say that's what God is telling us, that some things that come in our life is nothing but lint. You just need to. Glory be to God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.